What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Volume.
Just a reminder, you can catch me recording this podcast live on AMP. AMP is a new live radio app that lets you call in and chat with me in person while I'm recording. Get the app on Apple's App Store and make sure to follow me at Draymond Green to get notified when I go live. So what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. As you can probably see by the title of this podcast, as you can see by the promo of this podcast, we were too excited to actually like keep the surprise until it just popped up in your face. Our guest, my guy, Coach Kerr. We spoke about some great things, and you will have the opportunity to hear that shortly. But I wanted to get on here and mention something that I saw in the first quarter before we roll into that. So, and then I'll let you get to, Steve got gems, okay? Like, he is the guy. You're talking adjustments. We talked adjustments. You're talking mindset. 9-time champion. Like, it's not an accident. And then people try to say, oh, he didn't play much with the Bulls. It's not an accident. Winners win. Never forget it. And on Champs Only today, Coach Kerr gave some gems. It was great to hear. I enjoyed it. I know you all will. But one thing that I saw before we go into that, during the game today, and it's unfortunate they didn't win, because this would be a much cooler story if they won. But I'm happy to see a good series tied up 1-1. At the end of the first quarter, and remember, I'm always watching the game within the game. I'm always watching other guys' reactions to see if I can play on that. Like, I like to talk and I like to stir up the pot a little bit. And like, you watch other guys' reactions on teams to see if you can play on that. Like, if I can get under skin, if I can get them to go against each other. All that's a part of it, you know, in the field of war. Like, you have to find your angles when you're out there on that court, and that's just that. And one thing I saw at the end of the first quarter, Jamal Murray had the ball. And as you can recall, maybe you can't, but you can go back and check it out. Jamal Murray had the ball at the end of the first quarter. And Jackson's great, so Jackson will clip it and show it to you. And he started getting in his package, and Joker popped open. And Joker was wild. And Joker, like, thought he was about to get the ball for a wide-open three. And then he realized Jamal wasn't passing it. And Jamal started dancing, and step back. And, like, the right play would have been to throw the ball to Joker and let him shoot it, because he was wide open. Jamal had drawn two, did your job. But Jamal is also a big shot taker and a big shot maker. So he wants that moment when that's going on. As you can see down the stretch into the game, he was taking all of those shots, and he got them right back in, and they had a chance to tie it up and send it to overtime. But he stepped back, shot the ball, and missed it. And what you will see in most situations like that with a lot of guys is they drop their head, they slump their shoulders. They say, come on, or hold, just stand there, hold your hands like this, right? Like, making it obvious that they were open. By the way, I've done it. Like, we all do it. Like, Joker clapped his hand, but it was like a clap, like, ah, he barely missed. Like, ah, almost. It wasn't like a clap, I should have got the ball. Shoulders did not drop a centimeter. Body language did not change, not one bit. And that's why they're in the NBA Finals. Because the confidence that that gives coming from Joker to Jamal Murray, like, take that shot. It's no surprise to me Jamal Murray hit those shots late. Because he know the guy isn't going to slump his shoulders. He know the guy isn't going to say, oh, give me the ball. That's how you make guys around you better. And Jamal Murray's an incredible player in his own right. Don't get me wrong, but Joker is Joker. That's how you give guys confidence. And I thought that was really interesting to see. It says a lot about their chemistry. It says a lot about their team and why they are where they are. So as you know, I'm always trying to help you guys see the game within the game. I think if everyone understands this game from a better place, it only makes our game that we all love, fans, players, you name it, the basketball community, it only makes the game that we all love better. So I like to share those things. But now, let's get into the guy. My guy, Stevie Kerr. June is a championship month for sports. Pro basketball, hockey, college baseball, and softball championships all underway. And of course, pro baseball is in full swing. For last-minute amazing deals on tickets to whatever your favorite sport may be, check out Game Time. And it doesn't stop at sports. Game Time even has tickets to concerts and comedy shows, too. Download the Game Time app and redeem code GREEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download the Game Time app and enter code GREEN. That's GREEN for $20 off. No matter where you live, get out and have some fun this week. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. I'm very thankful for this guy in my life. Super important. Has helped me grow as a man, has helped me grow as a player. And I promised you all a surprise guest with him in mind, and he had not confirmed, but I just trusted that he would look out for me as he always does. And he did. He came through for me. So the surprise is here. Today's episode, this is called the Draymond Green Show, Champs Only Edition. And what that means is we have a guest that's going to break this game down. And when you're talking playoff adjustments, when you're talking someone who's not afraid to pull a trigger on a lineup, on a defensive scheme, you name it, the best in the business, here to break down the game with us. Today, we have 9-time NBA champion, the best coach in the NBA, Coach Steve Kerr. Welcome to the show.
Dre, you're too kind. It's good to be with you.
I'm so excited. As I told you, and I shared this on here, I don't mind telling the world this, I have learned so much from you about winning, like simply on how to win. Like, there's no mistake. Maybe two episodes ago, I was speaking on this list of guys who's won all the championships in our lifetime. And you're right at the top of that list with 9 championships. I know a couple of years ago, I was talking about championships, like, wow, we have 3. And you're like, you guys got 3. I got 8. And you kept that right. And you kept that right at the top. And now we're at 4, you're at 9. It's incredible. But number one, I just want to say for everything that you've taught me, thank you.
No, and thank you, because people who watch us play and follow our team, I think they know it really is a collaboration, you know, and that's what I learned from my coaches. I mean, I was so blessed to play for the greatest coaches ever, you know, Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich, Lenny Wilkins, Coach Lute Olson in college. I mean, all Hall of Famers. And Lenny and Phil and Pop in the NBA in particular were all collaborators. And that's really what I learned from them was that, number one, you're only as good as your players in the NBA. But number two, if you do have players, then you got to collaborate with them and figure it out as a group. And that's been really, I think, what has been most fun during our run here, you know, during my time with you and Steph and Clay and Andre and the whole group. We do it together and we figure it out and we find a way.
Absolutely. And I mean, especially during the playoffs, and it's like during that time of year, it's just like a magic. It's a buzz. We walk in the room, you see your wheels spinning. It's like exuding out of you. And we come in, we have a few suggestions. And whether those suggestions, I think the thing that I can always appreciate as a player is like, whether we go with that suggestion or not, it's heard, it's carefully thought out. And it's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And here's why. If this, and we have an adjustment in the bank, if we need to go to it, and here's what it'll be. And it's just like, it's never turned on deaf ears, whether it's we go with it or not. And I can always appreciate that as a player, especially as you know, I always got something to say. So I can always appreciate it.
Well, we've had a lot of great coaches on our staffs, and that's what makes this so fun. You're right. I mean, the playoffs are the best time of year for sure. And when you go into every series and you know, you have an idea of what you want to do. And then from game to game, making these adjustments, it's so different from the regular season. You know, regular season, you're just trying to get to the next game and get through the year and keep your guys healthy and confident, keep everybody, you know, moving forward and feeling good about themselves. And then the playoffs come and you throw everything out the window. It's just win. It's just pure basketball. Nothing else matters. And from one game to the next, like you see stuff that you have to do or that you might want to do. And you make these changes, you hope they work. And if they don't, you try something different. It's so fun. It's the best time of year.
Absolutely. I can agree. Well, speaking of that, and getting into tonight's game, I know you watched the game as soon as we hopped on. You're like, man, that game was exciting as hell. first time in your coaching career that you're not headed to the NBA Finals and you were in the playoffs. How much is it? I know it has to be burning you because it's burning me, but how much is it burning you to be sitting here watching and not participating in this game or this series?
Yeah, I mean, it's on the one hand, it's burning me up. On the other hand, I just sort of, you know, count my blessings. Like, I think, you know, I've been coaching the team 9 years. We missed the playoffs twice. And 6 of the 7 years we made the finals. So this is the first year, like you said, first year we haven't made the finals, but who gets to say that? I mean, that's just, there's so much good fortune, you know, and I'm not trying to be modest. You know, we have a great staff and we work hard and all that stuff, but, you know, so much of coaching is just, you know, who you get to coach and the players, the talent that you have, the competitiveness, and we've had such an incredible group. So this year was, we came up short. It's no fun watching the finals, but at the same time, we don't deserve to be there. You know, we weren't good enough. So, you know, I can live with that. We got to get better.
No doubt. No doubt. And I think, you know, sometimes you have to lose to win, you know, and I think for us, this allows us to reset. This allows us to go back and say, all right, here are some things we didn't do as great. It's tough to do that. It's coming off a championship sometimes. So I think this will be great for us, and I'm excited about it. But and speaking of tonight's game, you've always been a coach, I mean, dating back to 2015, that's not afraid to pull the trigger on an adjustment, whether it's a lineup change in the middle of a series, whether it's totally going away from a guy because you think this just isn't serious. You've been known. I mean, you're known for doing that. And the Heat did that tonight. with Kevin Love. They went back to Kevin Love over Caleb Martin in the star lineup. What is it in coming into your coaching career that made you comfortable with making those adjustments, moving Andre into the star lineup in the NBA Finals, moving Andre to the bench to start a season? Like, what is it, or where did you learn that coming into? I mean, you're a rookie coach when you came in.
Yeah. I think when I think back to 2015, the biggest move we made was in the second round when we were playing Memphis and we were down 2-1. And Ron Adams suggested that we put Andrew Bogut on Tony Allen in Memphis. Mm-hmm. And they were just controlling the tempo. And I remember we were on the plane when he said it. And I remember thinking, why would we do that? Like that seems crazy. And so the more we watched film, the more I could picture it. And then we did it. It was like magic. It was like, oh, my God, this changed everything. And yes, that was my first experience as a coach where I realized one matchup change, just one move can change a series dramatically. I didn't really know it at the time, but because we had such a great staff and a veteran group with Alvin Gentry and Ron, those guys had been through it before. So they taught me like one lineup change, one matchup change. It literally can shift everything. And so from then on, it was like, okay, now I get it, and you can really make a shift with some subtle moves.
Absolutely. I remember that like it was yesterday. It put Memphis in such a tough spot because Tony Allen was so good defensively. Great. Tony Allen's one of the best defenders I've ever played against. And he wasn't guarding me, but just in watching. And we hurt them so bad on the offensive end that they end up having to take him off the floor. And it just opened our offense up to do everything once he came off the floor. It was huge.
Yeah.
And getting to tonight's game, Joker, another great game, 41 points, 11 rebounds, but only 4 assists. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that stat?
Yeah, we talked about this last year when we played Denver. We just felt the same way that Miami felt tonight, like he's just so good as a passer. And I think that's what he likes to do best. That's what makes him go, what makes their team go. And they're so much better now than they were a year ago, obviously, because of Jamal Murray being healthy, Michael Porter being healthy, adding KCP and Bruce Brown. They got more size in the backcourt. So they're a great, great team. But I do think what Miami did tonight, they said, all right, we're going to make Jokic a scorer. Let's take away other people. And then the big one I thought was, you mentioned them starting Love. That allowed Jimmy Butler to guard Murray. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was like, I haven't talked to Spo or anything like that, but I can see them in their coaches meeting saying Murray's the head of the snake. Not Jokic. If you just look at it, you go, well, Jokic is the head of the snake. When you play a team, you sort of realize, wait a second, like that guy's going to dominate no matter what we do. So we got, this is the head of the snake. And I think they just decided Murray's the guy we got to stop. So you start Love, you put Jimmy Butler on Murray. And then you saw like they were blitzing Murray quite a bit and really trying everything to take him out of the game.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting because it made it extremely tough on Murray. It didn't allow for those pockets. There was a point where they like went to that matchup zone and they were like switching anyone on the Joker.
Yeah.
And I thought that was extremely interesting because last game, I spoke about like some of the possible adjustments they can make. And I was saying, put Jimmy Butler on Murray. You keep Bam on Joker. But now you read that pick and roll with them. As you know, having Bam with us in the Olympics, Bam can guard anyone. And Jimmy will put up a fight, but it keeps those guys in front. Now you're not getting the backdoor cuts. Joker's not getting 10 assists. And it forces everybody to struggle. All of a sudden, KCP's threes weren't going in because they didn't get those at the beginning of the game. And so I thought that was an interesting one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that against every team, you know, in the playoffs, you're just trying to take them out of rhythm. You know, you just want to make them, you know, we always use the Belichick line, you know, make them play left-handed, you know. He's famous for that, like trying to take a team's strengths, take that away and make them do something different. And I think that's what the playoffs are all about. You get these great players like Jokic, and you have to figure out, okay, well, like, what are we going to possibly do with this guy? Mm-hmm. And it's more, you know, you're not going to stop him. So how can we make the team slightly uncomfortable? How can we take them out of their patterns that they're so used to? And I thought Miami did an amazing job of that tonight.
Yeah, I definitely thought they did as well. Miami, I've noticed about their offense, but especially it's been showing up as of late, really. And today it showed up, but also in that Boston series, they run a lot of stuff out of the high splits, kind of like Golden State. I thought it was very interesting. Duncan Robinson couldn't get a shot off mm-hmm. the first three quarters, couldn't get an attempt. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he goes for 10 quick points to start the fourth quarter, and it changes everything. Do you think, in watching them play the Miami Heat, that something similar to what we were doing against Sac would be beneficial against them? Because they got these guards coming flying off handoffs. Bam's a great playmaker. Then Bam has the fake keeps, or he's just moving it and going to the next side. But they got these guards, and Joker's down the floor, but they're letting everything up the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that might be Denver's adjustment, and that's the beauty of the playoffs is, you know, that's the next thing they got to figure out. If they want to take away all those dribble handoffs, I mean, how many buckets did Bam get on the pocket pass after those DHOs? You know, absolutely. Lowry had several beautiful passes to him in the second half down the stretch. Both Strus and Robinson made good passes to him. Mm-hmm. So that'll be really interesting to see. Does Denver, you know, try to just deny all those dribble handoffs, send everything to the rim and have Jokic just sit back there? And that would be, you know, one way of Denver trying to do the same thing that Miami did tonight, in terms of take away a team's pattern, try to make them do something different.
Absolutely. Miami's been going to the zone and now two games in a row. Mm. It's really stifled Denver in the fourth quarter. When you're going zone as a coach, like, obviously that's a new thing in the NBA. It hasn't always been a big thing, but like as of late, you're starting to see more and more teams go zone. What are you hoping to accomplish as a coach, like when you're going to that zone, like Miami's did both fourth quarters now?
I think, again, it's take away the pattern, take away the comfort zone. You know, the Murray, Jokic two-man game down the stretch. You said it already, like they were in a kind of a funky matchup zone, Miami was, but they just kept switching the pick and roll, the high pick and roll, and then they were zoned up behind it. And so I think Miami's probably the best zone team in the year, in the league. You probably remember early in the season, we had a lead down the stretch in Miami, and they played zone the last 5 minutes and stifled us. And they run some interesting stuff. It's they've got a couple different zones that they run. The one tonight looked like a matchup zone, like almost like a hybrid type thing. Like maybe they made it up on the fly during the finals, you know? But they're really good. I mean, they're tough minded. They're so well coached. Spo's amazing. And they just don't make mistakes. You know, I think they had 28 assists, 11 turnovers. They don't beat themselves. You know, they had that one stretch early second quarter where they turned it over a few times. Denver made their run and got control of the game. I'd like to see the number of turnovers Miami had in the second half. I'll bet it was, you know, three or four. They just don't give you anything.
Mm-hmm. No, I thought that's for sure. And on the opposite end, Denver couldn't stop turning it over.
Yeah.
I thought Joker had some uncharacteristic turnovers that he don't normally have as well.
Yeah. And I think it was because they were taken out of those comfort zone patterns that they have. So that's the idea with not only the zone, but changing up the matchups and getting Butler on Murray so that you have more athleticism and size against them on the pick and roll. Like you said, the ability to switch with Bam and Jimmy on that pick and roll. So I thought Miami was phenomenal tonight.
Yeah, they were great. A couple rotation things. Like I said, just top of the show, you're one of the best at that. Max Strus comes out firing. And he's knocking them down. He gets it going. He doesn't really play in the fourth quarter. They go Duncan Robinson, who again hadn't been able to get a shot off. How do you make that decision? Like in that moment, you're like, all right, we're going away from Strus, who had it going early, essentially going to Duncan, who hasn't gotten anything going. Like as a coach, how are you making that decision in the moment like that? On like which one of those guys you're going with?
I think you have to establish that all season long, like with your team. The message has to be whoever has it going is going to play. Mm-hmm. And the guys have to be connected enough to not only understand that, but to embrace it. You know, Caleb Martin was the star of the Boston series.
Yeah.
You know, he's hardly been a factor in this series offensively. Didn't play much, but he hit a huge three in the fourth quarter tonight. And it's like none of those guys on Miami are sitting there saying, "Well, I didn't play," or "Man, they put in so and so." Like they're just all about winning. And you know this from our groups that we've had. When you have that championship mentality, every guy's bought in. Every guy's just trying to win. Nobody cares about any of that stuff. You don't go into the locker room, you know, saying, "Well, I should have played more." You just want to win. And that's the beauty of finding that magic when you have a championship team, is that everybody's bought in, and it makes the decisions for the coach really simple. You just go with your gut and go with whoever's playing well.
Another question or something that I noticed in this game, and I just wondered, I was wondering, at what point do you scrap your lineups? Because, and so watching this game, if you notice, I know you noticed, Miami's lineups with Jimmy on the floor in the first half, they turned the ball over every play. They couldn't even get a shot up. And I thought it was interesting to see Jimmy off the floor at the same time as Joker. And then he was coming back in. Like, why not take advantage of those, like have Jimmy on the floor when Joker's not on the floor to take advantage of the non-Joker minutes, but it also keeps him on Murray, because in that first half, Murray had 8 points. They were all in transition. Because Jimmy was into him to start that game. And then Jimmy comes out, he gets it going, and they end up going up like 11 points before Jimmy can get back in the game. At what point in the series are you looking at that and you're like, all right, maybe we need to stifle our minutes a bit and get this guy on the floor? Like how deep in the series do you have to be to start thinking that way?
Yeah, I think it just depends on how you feel as a coach, as a staff, about the flow of the game, you know. And I think Miami left that first game not feeling great about the way things went. And they said, all right, we got to make our adjustments now. We're not going to wait till game three. I think, you know, our series against the Lakers, by the end, Schroeder was just going to be on Steph no matter when Steph was on the floor. So I think they started him game six. Mm-hmm. Whenever Steph came out, Schroeder came out. Whenever Steph went back in, Schroeder went back in. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a pretty common theme in these playoff series. If there's one guy that you know you have to slow down, you just put your best defender on him and you just mirror the matchup. I think Miami did that in the second half. I don't think they did that in the first half, did they? Murray got going a little bit, Butler was not on the floor, right?
He wasn't on the floor, and that's when they made that run.
Yeah. So I think that was the adjustment they made in the second half. As soon as Murray went to the bench, Jimmy went to the bench. As soon as he came back to the scorer's table, Jimmy went right back too.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Another adjustment thing. I talked earlier on here in the playoffs about our biggest adjustment. And another thing that you've taught me is just always the force that you play with. I think anytime we lose a game or almost lose a game or anything, you always come in and you say, hey, we have some things that we're going to work on. Some things that we're going to change up. We have some ideas. But our biggest adjustment is always going to be force. Mm-hmm. And you always say that. Why do you think it's so important, but also so difficult to do that? Because I actually thought coming out today, and I also spoke about this last time, in game one, Miami was on the verge of getting blown out, and they reeled it back in a little bit. And I said, listen, if I'm the Denver Nuggets, I actually feel great about that because we didn't blow them out. So now they're not coming in with the added extra fire that you know a team comes in with when they've gotten blown out. However, I thought at the beginning of this game, and I would love to know if you saw the same thing, I thought Denver came out passive. Like, They came out lacking aggression. It kind of looked like a regular season game. And Miami got their footing right away. I think they started off the game up 10-2. And it just looked like that Denver lost the force. Did you see that same thing? Was that your...
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was more that Miami just brought the force. And that's, you know, human nature. You're down 1-0 and... You got two off days and you're sitting in your hotel room in Denver and you're you know, you're pissed off, and all the media is saying this is going to be a sweep or five games, and Miami has no chance. It's just human nature. You know, you come out angry, and with Denver, it's probably the flip side of that. It's like you don't think you're going to be complacent, but you probably are a little bit, and that's all it takes. There's such a slight difference between, you know, really playing with an edge and not playing with an edge. It's just a minor thing, but it's there. That's the difference between two great teams in the finals. It's just, you know, who's going to be a split second quicker to the loose ball? Who's going to be, just a little more forceful with every action? And you can see it right away. Miami they came out, they were angry, and they played with more competitive juice, and they set the tone early.
You're Denver. 1-1, headed on the road. You just saw the game. What's your number one adjustment going into next game if you're Denver on how you're going to get this series back under your control?
It's a good question. I mean, I think number one, that, you know, like we just talked about, your first adjustment is the force that you come with, the intent that you're playing with, the purpose. And then, you know, as far as any tactical adjustments, that's what the next 2 days are for. You know, I always felt like, every time we would finish a playoff game, I'd be reluctant to say anything to you guys right afterwards, because I'd always want to look at the tape first to confirm any thoughts that I have. And sometimes I was, you know, I'd be way off. Like, you know, I'd want to go in and say one thing, and then I'd watch the tape and I go, no, that actually wasn't the key to the game. This was, you know. So I think that's what the next 2 days are about for Mike Malone and his staff is, trying to figure out, do they want to make some adjustments? Maybe it's what you talked about, taking away some of those dribble handoffs, you know, top locking the shooters, sending them down, maybe something like that. I doubt it's a personnel change, because I think Denver is really solid with their starting group. They're the favorite in this series. I don't think they have to panic or anything. I just think it's probably playing with more intent and maybe a slight tactical change somewhere.
When you're playing like Spoelstra, as we spoke about, Spoelstra's great. He has the experience edge over Mike Malone. You're now in a position where, I mean, almost any coach in the league, with the exception of Pop, Spo, you're going to have the experience edge over damn near any coach in the league. As a coach, I know when I go out there as a player and I'm looking at those guys, the one thing I have in the back of my mind is that I know how, like that we've done this. We know how to do it. When you're going up against another coach, say Spoelstra against Mike Malone, are you feeling that as a coach as well? Like, well, I know we've been in this situation before. That we don't know if he's going to panic, you know, because he hasn't been. Like, are you feeling that as a coach? And you were a player, so you know how it feels as a player. Do you get that same feeling as a coach as you do as players?
I think you consider it. And I think in this particular series, Mike Malone has a lot of experience. The continuity of the two organizations is a big reason why they're both here. And all you have to do is think back, 2 years ago, Denver came back twice in the bubble from 3-1 deficits. They won two straight series down 3-1. Mike Malone's a hell of a coach. They have continuity with their players, with the staff. So they will come out with resolve and with some adjustments. And they have been through these wars. Now, maybe not in the finals, and there is a little different vibe in the finals, but I think these two games now, they've kind of felt it. I mean, yeah, I would ask you remember our first trip, like in 2015, didn't those first two finals games feel weird? Like they're so different than a regular playoff game.
No, they are. I mean, and it was crazy because you told us, you're like, all right, guys, it's the finals now. All of this is going to be different. The practices are different. You got media there. Everything's going to be different. You now have family in town the entire time. And you kind of warned us of all of those things, and yet we got into those first two games like, whoa. Like, totally different vibe. Yeah. And I thought that was very interesting. And then you see, like we had the opportunity to see the Celtics and, you know, go through that last year. And I thought, if you think back to game one, we took advantage of it for the first half, really the first three quarters. And then it's like they found their footing, they got a little more comfortable, guys started hitting shots, and the game got away from us. Obviously, mm-hmm. we ended up finishing it, but you saw a little bit of that same thing.
I think I always felt like the hardest thing is practicing in the arena instead of at your practice facility. You know, it's the only time all year where, you know, somebody tells you, okay, you're not allowed to practice in your practice facility, you know? Yeah. So you practice at the arena and like 500 media members are going to come in for the last 5 minutes or the first 5 minutes of practice, or no, actually like first 20 minutes.
Yes.
So you have to put on like a fake practice in the finals where it's like, all right, guys, do three-man weave or, you know, like, what are we doing? And it's crazy because it's like you're playing for the biggest prize, you know, biggest games of your life, and you're not allowed to follow your routine. And you guys as individual players can't get your usual shooting time that you get on your home floor, practice floor, because, you know, on the practice floor, you got six mm-hmm. empty hoops. And in the main arena, there's only two hoops. So you can't do the same routine. It's, to me, it's nuts, but it's all part of the media obligations that both teams have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Coach, this has been great. As you know, I could sit and talk basketball with you all night, but I want to let you enjoy your Sunday. But before we get out of here, due to my love for him, and I know your love for him, I'd be remiss if we got on here and we didn't mention Bob Myers. I know what he's meant to me in my career. And man, I was having a conversation today with someone and I start talking about some of the things that I've gone through, like as a player, like, and not some of the things that I've gone through. You know all the shit that I've caused myself. It's not that like I've gone through something that somebody else caused. It's self-inflicted wounds that I've had over the course of your tenure here, us, you know, us being together. And we were speaking about it, and he was like, man, I forgot all of that shit. You've done a lot of shit. And I trust me, I not for one second do I go home and not think these guys have had my back. Like you, Bob, through things that I've gone through. I mean, the camera caught you one time, like, I'm sick of Draymond shit. And I was like, that sucks. I can't believe he said that. And I had to take a step back, like, I'd be sick of Draymond shit too. So, like, but I understand, you know, what you've done for me. I understand, you know, what Bob's done for me and what you guys have meant to me in my life and my career. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity. You know, Bob's been here your entire journey, how that journey's been with him, to see him go, just your feelings and your thoughts on it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mentioned early in the podcast the fact that it's a collaboration, and Bob is a huge part of the collaboration. And he and I have been partners in this thing for 9 years. You know, he hired me. He was here before I was. I don't know what it's going to be like without him. There's already like a really hollow feeling just mm-hmm. knowing he's not going to be in the building every day. There's an incredible friendship there, incredible sense of gratitude that I have for Bob for everything that we've shared and been through together. And I'm going to miss him, and we're going to miss him. I mean, he's just a huge part of everything. There's so much more that goes into being a general manager than, just, you know, making draft picks and signing free agents. It's, you're literally managing everybody in the organization from day to day. And mm-hmm. Bob's the master. He is, he has an incredible way of making people feel good about themselves and yet making people feel accountable. Mm-hmm. At the same time,
absolutely.
And wanting people, you know, making people want to do their best, not for him, but for the group and for yourself. You know, mm-hmm. he's constantly challenging all of us to be our best, but without sort of putting pressure on it on us, if that makes sense. You know, he's got an amazing way about him.
No, absolutely. And last one before we get out of here, you and I both have had the honor, or I mean, not really a pleasure, of playing for an ownership group that wants to win, that's willing to go the lengths that they need to go to win. And listen, Joe can be tough at times. And I think, you know, we all know Joe can be tough at times because he has that same thing that me and you have. He just hate to lose. And losing for him, it drives him up a wall. Joe, like myself, wears his emotions on his sleeves. But at the end of it, you can always turn back and say, I know that guy want to win as bad or more than we want to win. And just how important it is having an ownership group that's willing to go those lengths to put us in the best position we can to win championships.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was a player, the Warriors were kind of a laughingstock, to be honest with you. And so when Joe bought the team, the mentality shifted. The mentality went to, hey, this is going to be a winning situation. And everything that he's done has been with that thought in mind. He's just win. And he's proven that with his checkbook. He's proven that with his intentions, you know, over the last decade plus. And I know that's never going to change. So the collaboration that we've all had has been amazing. And obviously we want to keep it going. So hopefully we can do that. And, you know, we're lucky to have been part of all this, for sure. No doubt about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Coach, I can't thank you enough. The first, and rightfully so, like the first guest of Champs Only. Like, for those of you out there listening, Champs Only, we coming on here, we're talking about this game, and we're talking about championship things. Hence the fact, Champs Only, if you're not a champion, I love you. I'm sorry. We got to have champs, and we just had one of the greatest champs ever in NBA history. 9-time champ, Coach Steve Kerr. I can't thank you enough, Coach, for coming on the show. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Dre. That was fun.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.